This is Talking.Golf on Wisconsin.Golf. Talking.Golf is a weekly podcast featuring Gary D'Amato and Rob Hernandez. And now, here's Gary and Rob.
Yeah, we welcome you into Talking.Golf. Rob Hernandez joined by Gary D'Amato. We thought we'd try that live this time. Normally, I edit that in, Gary. We'll see how this sounds. But we had some technical issues last week. Hopefully, we worked through those. We had no issues getting into the golf season over the weekend, Gary. You and I both down at the Chicago Golf Show, and as I tweeted out on Sunday, I thought the vibe was pretty impressive all weekend long. People are ready for golf to begin here in 2020.
Yeah, no doubt about it, Rob. You know, the weather's getting better. We've got some days in the 40s and even 50s. Snow is melting, and the Chicago Golf Show is a really good one because even though it's in the Chicago market, it's well represented by, you know, Wisconsin courses and destinations because, as we all know, Chicago golfers flock up to our state to play some really great golf. So, yeah, I thought it was a really good show. I was there for only one day. You were there for all three. But I thought it was a smashing success from what I saw.
Yeah, and I got the reaction from a lot of the other vendors that were there, especially some that have been there in the past, Gary, was that Friday was better than ever. Saturday, there were times on our aisle, and of course, we were right across from the Lake Geneva Golf Trail, so we got to see a lot of the Abbey Springs and the Nipissing and Resort and the Grand Geneva, Geneva National, all those courses, and it was jam-packed in the aisles. And then, of course, so many vendors with golf apparel, golf clubs, golf balls, golf head covers, you name it, it was there. Our Jim Kelch kicked off the week he wanted to get a Chicago Cubs polo to wear to a Cubs Diamondbacks game he's going to go to here in a couple weeks down in Arizona. We promised last week, Gary, we'd tell our listeners what we came away with. Do you want to start?
Well, you mean material stuff?
Material. Did you buy anything? I don't remember you buying anything.
I just bought some golf gloves, Rob. Such a great deal. You know, four gloves for $20. You pointed that deal out to me. Yeah, that's last year I bought a golf bag and got a really great price on a golf bag, a carry bag. And this year just bought some golf gloves. What'd you come away with, Rob?
Well, I went four for 20 on those two. It's the Wilson, and I'm walking into the kitchen area where it's still sprawled out in the breakfast bar here. It's the Wilson Grip Soft golf gloves, and I put one in play about 6 months ago, and it's as good as it was then right now. But the real steal, and every year I find different deals and different ways that they've packaged the quote-unquote reconditioned golf balls. Mm-hmm. And at one of the booths, they had six dozen Callaway, they call them HOTS, and then on the label, they have a grading scale, A, B, C, and D. A is mint or like new. B is near perfect. C, small blemishes. And D are the ones that maybe you and I might have played at some point in the golf ball's life. And I got a grade A golf bag of golf balls, cash $60 for six dozen. And my son plays Callaway's, and so he should be good now maybe for the rest of his life. So that was good. And of course, if you followed me around long enough to know that I love I'm a sucker for those little spinning wheel things. It's almost like the big wheel on The Price is Right.
Yeah.
And I went to Harbor Shores in Michigan. Josh Doxater, who used to be up at Thornberry Creek, is over there now. So we went and stopped by and said hi to him a couple times. And I went with our Sarah Starmer the first time. And, of course, because Harbor Shores is affiliated with the KitchenAid Senior PGA Championship, they have a lot of things through KitchenAid and through the tournament to give away. I walked away both times with a bag of teas. Sarah Starmer walks away with a KitchenAid ice cream scoop, which I thought was pretty nice. And then, of course, my friend here, Gary D'Amato, walks away with a KitchenAid Senior PGA stocking cap. I don't know if I'm just bad luck or what the deal is. Good luck for you guys, but bad luck for me. But the bag of teas is kind of like the proverbial coal in the stocking.
Well, you know, Rob, if I played Wheel of Fortune, I'd probably land on bankrupt every time. So I think I just got lucky one time. And you can bow the hat anytime you want, Rob, all right?
That's right. That's right. And let's hope we don't need it. We'll get to that here before we wrap up our podcast. Because I tell you what, the temperature looks great. And I have a feeling that I'll be getting in touch with a lot of courses this week to see how quickly they might open. But on Sunday at the golf show, it was in the upper 50s when we walked over there. In fact, I think it was warmer in Chicago during the show and when we went to the airport to fly out than it was when I arrived here in San Diego at about 7 o'clock at night. So that says a lot. But just to wrap up on the show, anything I thought maybe a couple things we could share with our listeners were a couple of Wisconsin courses represented for the first time that hadn't been there. One is Minocqua Country Club. I'm going to write a short story on that either later this week or early next. They were looking for five more members to get to capacity. And of course, Chicago has been very good to them over the years, going back decades. And a lot of Illinois golfers with property up in Oneida County, and they were hoping to, you know, tap into that market to kind of fill out their membership. I thought that was interesting, Gary. And then the other one was Oshkosh Country Club. We've written about Bullseye Country Club in Wisconsin Rapids converting from a private course to a public course. Oshkosh Country Club's kind of going halfway. They're going to make most of their tee times available to members first, at least 14 days out, and then 7 days out. Any unused tee times will then be opened up to the public. And for the first time in, I've never golfed Oshkosh Country Club, so I've never known them to ever take public play, but they will do so here in 2020. And we'll talk to, we'll write a story about that here in the coming days as well. Those were the two big ones to me, Gary, that kind of jumped out as being somewhat different than what we've seen in the past at the Chicago Golf Show.
Yeah, Oshkosh Country Club, that's interesting, Rob. I'd like to at some point maybe explore how many, you know, formerly or once strictly private clubs in the state are now opening at least some of their tee times to the public. You know, several other private clubs in the state I know have done that, Stevens Point Country Club being one. And it would be interesting to see how many strictly just pure private clubs are left in the state. I would hazard a guess that it's less than 50 now that that do not open ever to the public. So that might be a story we'll pursue at some point. But yeah, you're right, Rob. That was interesting. And to see Minocqua there basically just looking for five members, I thought, yeah, that was really interesting. Did you find out if they filled their membership by the end of the show?
I did not. They had leads on a couple. I know I talked to their GM on Sunday. They had leads. I don't know if they sealed any deals per se, but you know, it's also not a bad idea too to be able to you know, raise awareness too and have people ask around. You know, are you a member up there? You know, we get up there every, you know, every other year. Maybe I could get on, that kind of thing. I know they were giving away a round of golf and dinner in their clubhouse. And you were up there for the state AM. I mean, you can't ask for a better setting. If you're living and working in Chicago, I don't think you could ask for a better setting to get away from it all than you could in Minocqua, Wisconsin.
No, it's one of the prettiest places. A lot of pretty places up north, and a lot of Great Lakes, and a lot of good golf courses that people don't know a lot about. But certainly Minocqua's at or near the top of the list. You know, once you get north of maybe, you know, Stevens Point or Wausau and get north of there. I put Minocqua at the top of the list.
Other things that we saw at the show, we saw Century World next to Lake Arrowhead and Sand Valley next to Northern Bay. They were having a great time because they were right next to the hole-in-one contest. And they were having a little pool as to how many holes in one in this. What was that, about a 75-foot putt that they had to make to that the audience or the spectators or the people who came to the show had to make to win something there. And they actually were charting it, and there were big gaps where there weren't any made. Then they I think on Sunday they came back to back. I'd stopped by the booth. They said none yet. It was about 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock on Sunday morning, and then all of a sudden I walk to the next aisle and I hear two roars. It's kind of like hearing the roars at Augusta. That's a fun little thing they've got going there.
I was just going to say that, Rob. It is kind of like that. All they need is the pine trees and Amen Corner. Well, maybe a little more than that, but yeah, it was fun. And those guys placing little bets on how many guys were going to make that putt, men and women were going to make that putt. I didn't see any made personally, but certainly I heard, you know, six or seven throughout the day.
Of course, also we get to run into people that we haven't seen in a while. Got to meet and see Jeremiah Hoffman, who has spent the last couple of years in the Fond du Lac area, most recently at Rolling Meadows Golf Course. He has now moved on to Mascouten Golf Club in Berlin, which is, again, a great 27-hole facility right in the heart of the state, just up the road from Lasonia at Green Lake. And Jeremiah replaces Tom and Kaylin Dolby, the husband-wife tandem, who has now moved on to Iron Mountain, Michigan. They're at Pine Grove Country Club, a private course up there. And Tom and Kaylin did such a great job, especially with junior golf in that part of the state. And then, of course, under their watch, Mascouten became in the rotation for a lot of U.S. junior and a lot of U.S. amateur qualifying. So that was neat. And then we got to see Andy Runkle of the Bog. And they got a lot of exciting things going on there, too. And, of course, one of them, and another story that we're pursuing in relation to our Ryder Cup coverage, is Ryder Cup pricing for parts of the year, especially as we draw closer to the tournament, somewhat perhaps controversial, but at the same time, taking advantage of what is certain to be a captive audience of people who want to play Whistling Straits before the Ryder Cup, and, of course, the many, many thousands of golf fans who will be in the state for the Ryder Cup. In addition to, really, I guess, Gary, we should also mention, too, the Democratic National Convention, since we are taping this on Super Tuesday. There will be a lot of people in the state that get a chance to experience Wisconsin golf for the first time.
Yeah, and a lot of those spectators, Rob, you know, of the 200,000 or so who will flood Whistling Straits during that Ryder Cup week, you know, I would hazard a guess that a pretty good percentage of them bring their golf clubs. Certainly not all, but, you know, there'll be a lot of people looking for places to play. And as you said, there's a lot of really good golf courses within 60 or 70 miles of Whistling Straits. So you can't blame courses for, you know, putting a premium on their golf courses during that week, because you have to strike while the iron's hot, and there are going to be people looking to play golf, and I think I don't blame the courses at all for trying to maximize their revenue during that time.
Not at all. And last but not least, putting a bow on the Chicago Golf Show, it was fun talking to Bob Gander of Trapper's Turn. Bob mentioned that in addition to what you wrote about, Gary, with the par 3 course being developed there with the help of Andy North and Oliphant Golf, they are also in the clubhouse renovating a corner into a wine cellar and kind of a unique room that'll have, a lot of bottles of wine there, and just making some changes, too, with the addition of cottages and living quarters on the property, basically in the footprint of where you now hit golf balls on the driving range. They'll be putting in essentially a boutique hotel, similar in a much smaller scale to what they're doing up at Century World. We talked to Danny Rainbow and about their boutique hotel that's going up on the property. It just seems, Gary, that one of the trends in golf, and we've seen it with Sand Valley, is especially for those guys' trips, they like to stay on the property if they can. And a lot of the more upscale courses around the state are starting to answer that call and add Trapper's Turn and Century World to the list.
There's no question, Rob. You know, I go up to Century World every Memorial Day weekend with a group of about 20 guys, and we stay at a hotel outside of the Century World property. The campus, the Century Insurance campus there. And, you know, that's all revenue lost that Century World and Century Insurance could be claiming. So, yeah, they're putting a hotel up on the 18th fairway, and I imagine when we go back, I think that hotel's going to open in 2021. But when our group goes back that year, I'd imagine we'll try to stay in that hotel. So, they've got a captive audience, especially for golfers at these resorts such as Sand Valley, Erin Hills, Century World, who want to stay multiple days. And why let them get off property and stay at a hotel when you can keep them right on your property and pamper them, treat them well, and have that extra revenue stream?
So we'll see how that all goes. But Gary kind of segues into our next topic, and that's last night's Wisconsin PGA Awards banquet. A lot of the people who make their money trying to market and sell golf in Wisconsin are great club professionals around the state gathered in Green Bay to celebrate another great year of golf and to honor some of their award winners. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what you saw last night up in Green Bay?
Yeah, it was a long but productive day and a fun night. I'm on the WPGA board. I'm the at-large member, Rob, as you know, and we had a four-hour meeting in the morning. Then there was a general membership meeting and some breakout seminars. John Warren was there to talk about the new world handicap system. And I'm more confused than ever about that, by the way. No fault to John's. I just think I'm a little too dense to catch on to all the changes that are coming with the handicap system. But then at night, we had the awards banquet, and the players of the year and the club professional of the year, teachers of the year, development, merchandiser of the year, all were honored. It's a really fun event. There's a camaraderie among the state golf professionals that's hard to explain. It's a brotherhood and a sisterhood. And they took last night to honor their own. And it was really a fun night, Rob. Wish you could have been there.
Well, and I felt like I was, because you were texting me photos from there, and then a great acceptance speech from Rachel Coughlin,
yeah.
Repeat winner of the WPGA Junior Girls Player of the Year honor. And, Rachel's played in just a ton of tournaments over her career. I think she said she started when she was 8 playing in WPGA sanctioned events. And it was neat because she thanked Andy Landenberger, who was the coordinator of all the junior golf efforts that the section does. And, under Andy's watch, that program has grown exponentially. And I know that it's going to be bigger and better here. I know I have I'm due to touch base with them about another avenue that's opening for a little bit more advanced golfers in Wisconsin with the Hurricane Tour coming in for a series of events this summer. But Andy's just done a remarkable job of growing the game at that level, hasn't he?
He really has. And Rachel, you're right, Rob, but Rachel's speech was, she was very poised, very polished. She has done this before, but both her and Drake Wilcox, who was a junior boys player of the year, I mean, they were very mature and poised for their age. You can tell what kind of impact golf has made on their character. And it's just great to see young people coming up, and not necessarily only the people who play competitive golf at a high level, but just how golf impacts young people. And they were very polished in their acceptance speeches, and some of the better speeches of the night, actually, and some of the professionals gave great speeches too. But I was really impressed with the younger people and how they presented themselves.
And just to highlight a couple other things, I know Jim Schumann swept the player and senior players of the year honors again this year. Was he there? I know he was playing in the Kohlegaard Classic over the weekend in Winters down in Arizona. Did he make it back?
He did not. Yeah, I asked Joe Stadler, executive director of the WPGA, about Jim, and he said, he just finished playing yesterday in the Kohlegaard, and it was a little too hard for him to get all the way back up to Green Bay to be at the ceremony. But yeah, sure. Jim has had an incredible career, and it's not close to being done, that's for sure.
And then, of course, Danny Rainbow, who we talked about earlier from Century World, was named the Wisconsin PGA Professional of the Year. Why don't you tell our listeners, Gary, what that award entails, and maybe what Danny might have done to distinguish himself in that category?
Well, when I think of a PGA golf professional and all that embodies, Danny's one of the guys I think about. I think he's just such a classy individual. So giving, he gives back to the game in a number of ways, mentoring people, educational opportunities, just the way he runs, what his staff thinks about him, what Mike James, the director of golf up at Century World, thinks about him. You can all tell they just adore the guy. And he's still pretty young, but he's had a remarkable career. Madison native, right, Rob?
And, correct. Yeah,
he's worked at a couple other jobs around the state. Got to Century World, and just, you go up to Century World, and it's just such a great experience playing there. And part of the reason is the staff, and Danny has the staff. So it's just a well-deserved award. It's kind of like the Oscars I wouldn't say it's a lifetime achievement award, but it just embodies everything that a golf professional does. And Danny certainly is perfect for that. He was well-deserving.
And for Danny, it's kind of a culmination of a really demanding last few years at Central World. The course shut down for a couple of years for that massive renovation, and then it reopened with a different mission to kind of go back in and reclaim what once was exclusively its, and that was one of the premier upscale courses not only in the state of Wisconsin but the Upper Midwest, if not the country. And I think it's done that, and certainly with hosting the U.S. Girls Junior. We talked to Danny, you know, they're not done hosting stuff yet, still working with the USGA on stuff. And of course, you know, they're going to, you know, have the Century World Classic again, the girls only event back at Century World this year, which they've done for many years. But there's a lot of opportunity for great tournament golf there. But in the meantime, you know, we talked about it. They've got the hotel, you know, plan. They've got a lot of other things. It's a corporate owned golf course that yet not only does Danny answer to the corporation Century Insurance, but which has done a remarkable job in terms of getting involved with golf. But, you know, he's also, you know, the longtime Central Wisconsin golfers who have played, you know, Century World, you know, when it's been the most popular course in the world and when it's been a little bit, you know, maybe under the radar. And I credit him and his staff for really, you know, making Century World what it is again here today. And you're right. That honor last night could not have gone to a better guy.
Yeah, you know, and the reimagining of Century World, Rob, I think it's an incredible story because it's one of the few courses that you can think of that's sort of underwritten by this large, you know, multi-million dollar company. And they don't, you know, they have 12-minute tee times. They don't need to do, you know, 25,000 rounds. They don't need to do 10,000 rounds. I mean, they are, the whole idea behind the reimagining and what Century World is presented as now is just a great golf experience. You're not rushed up there. They're not, it's not a machine. They're not trying to push people through. And they really have brought come full circle to being one of the really, really great golf courses in the state.
Well, it was a great night last night. I thought my favorite picture you sent was of Jack Gaudian. You know, everyone else is kind of, you know, tentatively holding the microphone as they spoke to the audience. Jack Gaudian pulled that baby off the stand and he was ready to work the room. Jack Gaudian, of course, the owner of the Legends Clubs throughout the state, is one of a kind, and that was fun. A lot of great characters in our section with the Wisconsin PGA, and what a fun night that must have been.
It was. You know, Jack is comes from a military family. He won the Patriot Award for his courses giving back to, you know, to military, to veterans, and Jack just does a great job with that and gave a very impassioned speech about how important it is to keep veterans at the forefront and to help them in every way we can. And it was pretty emotional. I think Jack got a little bit choked up a little bit maybe, and some people in the audience did too. It was maybe the highlight speech of the night.
Well, that's awesome. The Wisconsin PGA Awards Banquet. We've got a little recap on Wisconsin.golf. Gary, as we wrap up the podcast today, a lot of golf being played here Monday and Tuesday at the college level. The Wisconsin Badger women's golf team up the road from me, 8 hours, I found out today. I mapped it out at Del Paso Country Club in Sacramento. They have slipped one spot into fourth place at the Gun Rock Invitational, but two Badger golfers currently in the top 10 as they play the back nine of the final round, Bobby Stricker in a tie for fifth, and Eloise Healy, who had the great performance last week or 2 weeks ago at the Westbrook Invitational that the Badgers hosted in Arizona. She is currently tied for eighth, so some good golf being played there. And also have to give a shout-out to Harrison Ott. He and the Vanderbilt Commodores are playing down in a place that I wouldn't mind playing, Los Cabos, Mexico, at Cabo del Sol, the ocean course at the Cabo Collegiate. And Harrison, after rounds of 69 and 68, currently two over for the final round through 14 holes in a tie for 10th. But Vanderbilt very much in the mix there with some powerhouses in the team race. They are currently third behind number 9 Arizona State and number 6 Texas A&M. Vandy came in ranked 20th in the country. And again, those are some storylines here, Gary, as we get into the competitive golf season that will be first and foremost on our plate, how these collegians are doing here to start the season, to start our golf season, but to wind down theirs as the college season all ends by the early part of June.
Well, Rob, some of the college programs play better courses than are played on the PGA Tour, it almost seems like. People wonder how young people coming out of college, young men and women, are so ready for the tours. All they have to do is look at the schedules those college teams play, where they play and who they play, and you get a pretty good understanding of why some of those young men and women are ready to play on the tour at age 21 and 22.
And lastly, Gary, I'll be out at Newport Country Club on Friday to follow Jerry Kelly as he makes his one stop here in California this year, now that the Invesco QQQ is off the Charles Schwab Playoff Cup schedule. So that begins Friday out at Newport Country Club. And Steve Stricker, who played last week at the Colligard Classic and had a top five finish, he moves on to back onto the PGA Tour. He'll be playing at the Arnold Palmer Invitational at Bay Hill. So our professionals back in the mix again this week. And you and me, we're going to be busy, busy, busy. I'm trying to get going on preparing for the high school boys season. But I think we'll be, once these courses start opening, weather is looking good. It looks like what, temperatures in the upper 50s, low 60s by Monday. I'm not sure if it'll stay, Gary, but our what do we, I don't remember what we picked, but it's March 3rd here. They may beat us with our predictions for when the golf season will start.
You know, I think I originally picked March 12th, and then after we had that big snow, I backed off that and moved it a week or two later. But now it looks like it might be before March 12th. So, yeah, it's funny, but you never know what the weather's going to do from week to week. But it sure looks like we've got a stretch of good weather coming up here. So you're right, Rob. Of course, they're going to be opening any day now, I think.
And as we wrap it up, Gary has stuff on the Ryder Cup coming up this week, the AmFam Championship. They announced today, by the way, Gary, that the Bodines will open for a Little Big Town at the concert this summer. So that's another big thing going on there. So much going on in the world of golf. I can't believe it. And again, I think my trip to Chicago was productive, if no other reason that I'm excited for this 2020 golf season to get going in full force.
Rob, at some point, we're going to actually have to play around together. We haven't played together in years, so let's try to put that on our schedule this summer. I know you're not in Wisconsin a lot, but let's try to get that done.
We're going to get it done. We might have to go check out Oshkosh Country Club or something together. But I'm going to prepare for that by heading out here in California today. You've got a lot of stuff on your plate. Let's call it a podcast. Gary, appreciate your time, and we'll do it again next week.
All right, Rob. Thanks a lot.
For Gary D'Amato, Rob Hernandez, this has been Talking.Golf on Wisconsin.Golf.